Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Chris Canty is taking the day, so it is just you and I, Rick DiPietro, mano a mano on 98.7 ESPN.
Mano a mano, Dave, the hacker and the whacker. 3 hours today, baby.
I like your style, Rick DiPietro. I like your style. And I imagine when you went to bed at probably around a 7:45 time, I'm thinking in that neighborhood, and we'll get to that at 12:30 today. You probably weren't a very happy guy with what's going on with your all-pro safety, Jamal Adams. It's amazing to me that this is now happening, and it continues to get worse, like our dear friend Rich Cimini, who's going to join us at 10:30 this morning, by the way, told us it would about 6-8 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, Rich Cimini, who's as tied in as anyone else, I mean, yep. He told us this would get ugly. And I think we all realized that. And I can understand both sides. To be completely honest, I can understand both sides. I can understand where Joe Douglas and the Jets are coming from, and I can understand where Jamal Adams is coming from. What I don't like is the timing of all this. Like, I don't understand why Jamal Adams chose now to turn the fan base against him and to all of a sudden put the Jets in a position where here's a list of teams that I want to be traded to.
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of leverage? He doesn't really have any leverage.
He has no leverage to begin with, let's be honest. He doesn't.
No, they control him for the next 3 years. They have this year, his fifth-year option they picked up, and then they can use the franchise tag if they want. So they control him for at least the next 3 years if they want to do that. And, I mean, his only leverage is, because you know he's going to, listen, he's going to ball out. When he's on the field between the white lines, he's going to ball out.
But that's never been a question. It's never been an issue of what kind of player is he on the field. This has always been the issue with Jamal Adams. Is this off the field? I want to get paid, and I'm going to make it as public as possible.
Which is, listen, which I understand. I mean, it was written in the CBA for a reason. After your third year, if you've outperformed your contract, you are eligible for a new contract or a contract extension. So I get it. And I understand. I mean, he's outperformed his deal. I mean, you're talking about an all-pro. You're talking about one of the best safeties. You know, you can make the argument that he's the best safety in football.
You could.
But unfortunately for him, not unfortunate, I mean, he's the sixth overall pick, but you have a fifth-year option and everything else, is that if the Jets decide, again, new regime, because they've been so dysfunctional, this is not Joe Douglas' draft pick. If this was Mike Maccagnan still in charge, he probably would have a new deal by now, that the Jets don't have to sign him, and Joe Douglas doesn't have to sign him. But the concern is that you don't have a great head coach, let's be honest. I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. And how much does Adam Gase want to deal with someone like Jamal Adams that's upset for an entire season?
He probably doesn't want to at all. For that. And this guy doesn't want to, and let's set the record straight here. He doesn't want to be the highest paid safety in the NFL, which he does. He wants to be the highest paid player on this team, which is CJ Mosley right now at $17 million a year. He wants more than that. And I go back to the question I've asked you the entire time. And of course, the phone lines are open for this conversation, 800-919-3776. Is it worth paying a safety as good as he might be $17+ million a year? And I've said this from the jump. He's great. I know it. We know it. It's not a question. I don't think it's worth $17 million a year where you could use those resources elsewhere. Me personally.
Yeah, but we're using the resources because of the timing. I mean,
well, now you can't.
Well, you could, but you're not going to get, I mean, I guess there was some talk that they may have shopped him around during the draft in fear that it could lead to this point and they didn't get the deal that they wanted. But now you're in a position like, where are you going? Like, who's going to, you know, you don't just need draft picks. You need,
no,
I mean,
you need
I would
bodies,
consider,
you need players. No, the thing that stinks is if you were going to trade him, you had to trade him before the draft. How can you trade him now?
Well, you'd need picks. You'd need picks, and you'd need someone that can step right in a position to need. You'd need a wide receiver. You'd need an edge pass rusher. I mean, if it was Yannick Ngakoue, I would consider Cincinnati trying to get A.J. Green. I mean, he'd be a nice addition as a wide receiver to help out Sam Darnold. But, I mean, you're in a tough spot because, I mean, don't forget, too, with this pandemic and everything else. I mean, we talked about this yesterday with Dr. Fauci. The uncertainty, like, what's the salary cap going to look like?
Yeah, we have no idea.
You have no idea. That's why I hate the timing of this. Like, why he chose now to do this, or why, again, I mean, ad nauseum going back and forth about Major League Baseball. Like, don't have these conversations about money out in public. Fans don't want to hear this stuff.
It almost feels like he can't help himself. Like he just sees one of these posts and he can't stop from doing it.
No, but this is why as players we always lose, Dave. Whenever we start talking about negotiations with owners or whatever it is, we lose because we can't take the emotion out of it. Like, I mean, what he does is all of a sudden he gets challenged on Instagram or whatever it is and he has an emotional reaction to it. And as far as he's concerned, I mean, this is not who Jamal Adams is. He's not a guy who stomachs losing. How many times did you hear that last season?
Oh, when they got off to the 1-7 start. Nauseam. I mean, I've never lost. I don't lose. Well, you know what? Honestly, Rick, he has lost quite a bit in his first couple of years in the NFL.
Quite a bit. They're 16-32, Dave. They're 16-32. The team's been bad. And I think that's part of the problem. Is in Jamal Adams' mind, he's the best safety in football. One of the best defensive players in football. And he doesn't feel like he gets the credit that he deserves because he's on a really bad team. Which I understand. Listen, I get it. But again, it comes down to how much leverage you have. And because Joe Douglas wasn't the one that drafted you, because you're not Adam Gase's guy, they don't feel like they need to pay him now.
And they don't. Not only do they not feel like they have to, they don't have to.
They don't have to. But again, it goes back to the point. I mean, Jamal Adams sets the tone. Like, he's the emotional leader of this team. And if he chooses to be disruptive, is that something that Adam Gase wants to deal with?
In a season
that's huge, huge season for not only Adam Gase, but Sam Darnold.
Let's be fair. If this season doesn't go well for Adam Gase, and I mean this sincerely, and this is not hyperbole, he might never be a head coach in the NFL ever again.
Not might. If this doesn't go well, he gets fired. He's not going to be a head coach again. Come on.
Ever again.
No, this is probably it. I would say this is probably it for him, yeah.
Because that'll
offensive
be two failings.
Coordinator, maybe. But
right. He. I'm not saying he won't work in the league, but he will not be the head coach of a team if this season goes poorly.
I would agree with that. I would absolutely 100% agree with that. So it's a huge season for him. It's a huge season for our quarterback, who's in his third year. And the last thing you'd want to do is have all this noise surrounding your best player with how unhappy he is.
That's exactly what you have.
And that's exactly what you're going to continue to have unless you make the decision that you're going to trade him. You're going to shop him, find the best deal possible. What I don't like is, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins would have been a humongous addition.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, have this conversation months ago with his agent. What do you want? What's it going to take? Is he going to be a problem if I don't pay him? Now you put Joe Douglas in a terrible spot. I mean,
terrible
Joe Douglas
spot.
Is in an awful spot.
And he doesn't want to pay him. And he's obviously upset about the situation, Jamal Adams is. And now he's going to be public about it. I don't know how it ends. I don't know how it ends well, to be honest with you right now.
I think the only way it ends well is if
you cave and pay him?
Yeah, unless you get an unbelievable offer from one of these teams that look at Jamal Adams as the finishing piece on their defense.
Yeah, but he gave you a list of seven teams. You're not exactly in a position of strength if you're the Jets to trade him right now.
Well, no, but and those teams are going to be competitive, right? So you're not going to get the first-round pick that you're looking for. It's not going to be a high first-round pick.
No. I mean, if you were to trade him with the Cowboys, you would have had 17. If you trade him with the Cowboys again, odds are you're not going to be in the top 20.
No, you're rolling the dice. I mean, at that point, you're rolling the dice. Who knows? It's going to be probably, back third of the draft in the first round. You need an impact. Like, as important as this season is, a draft pick now does you no favors. If this was before the draft and that player, that first-round pick, was going to actually be a starter on your team for this season, that would make sense. But a draft pick next year does you no good now.
Not now. No, the window to trade him was pre-draft this year. Not now.
But again, I understand both sides. I understand Joe Douglas's side. This isn't a player that I drafted. Hey, you're great, but we control you for the next, if we want, 3 years. There's been plenty of players that are really good, better than what Jamal Adams is now, Aaron mm-hmm. Donald being one of them, that had to wait until after his fourth year.
Khalil Mack as well, no?
Yep, but again, I think if the Jets had been more functional over the last couple of years,
right.
Had been more competitive.
He's not getting either. He's not getting the winning, and he's not getting the money.
Exactly right. So for him to come out and say he wants to be traded, it's a no-lose situation. Because they know he'll be a problem, so either they pay him and make him happy, or they trade him to a good team, which allows him, the spotlight that he wants, compete in the playoffs, which is really where he wants to be, and then they're going to pay him. You start trading first round picks, he's going to get what he wants. He's going to get paid right away,
of course.
So it's a no lose. I think this comes down to, it was all lip service. He doesn't want to be a Jet for life. Under the perfect circumstances, he's happy being a Jet. But as far as, you know, taking a hometown discount or just having, you know, I want to be the highest paid safety, he's not interested in that.
Mm-mm.
If I'm going to deal with all this dysfunction and all this losing, you're going to have to pay for that. I want to be the highest paid player on my team.
Oh, $17 million a year for a safety.
Which actually, which again, goes back to my initial point where I understand both sides. One of the things that would drive me crazy if I was a player in the NFL is the position designation. Like if you look at where Jamal Adams lines up, he doesn't line up. I mean, he lines up more as at other positions than he is actually safety.
Yes. He's almost a linebacker safety hybrid.
Yeah, and we spent how long leading into the draft? Oh, the Swiss Army knife of this year's draft could be the best defensive player, Isaiah Simmons.
Yeah.
So I get where Jamal Adams is coming from. I mean, he's been their best player, and
there's no doubt about it. He's their best player.
Yeah, he's their best player, but unfortunately for him is that, you know, his only leverage is he can be a distraction. That's it. And because he wasn't drafted by Joe Douglas, there's really, I mean, what is the rush for Joe Douglas? It's not his
guy.
Unless
he wants to appease a guy who clearly can make things uncomfortable and loud, there's no reason to pay him.
Yeah, the reason you would pay him, if you drafted him, you would pay him.
Well, he's your guy.
He's your guy. There's an attachment to him. There's no attachment to Jamal Adams. And then, I mean, that relationship was already spoiled at the deadline.
Right.
And, saw
and I don't think
folded.
It's gotten better since then. And Rich is going to join us at 10:30, but I saw him on SportsCenter with SVP last night.
He was.
He said it was damaged irreparably when he found out they were shopping him at the draft.
At the
trade deadline last year.
But, Dave, that's the only way that after year three, because again, after year three, knowing that you have him at, you know, a reasonable number for not only this year, for the fifth year, and then you can franchise him if you want. The only reason you even consider it, the only reason why Carolina signed Christian McCaffrey is because Christian McCaffrey is the face of their franchise now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what Christian McCaffrey is. Jamal Adams, as good as he is, I mean, he has no leverage at this point. He really doesn't.
He has none other than causing distraction. And making loud statements on social media, there's not all that much he can do, to be honest.
No. And now Joe Douglas and Adam Gase have to sit down and decide what they want to do moving forward.
Yep. All right, people are lined up.
And what message they want to send to the rest of their team.
Yes, yes. This is a real crossroads for the Jets right now. What do you do and how do you handle it well and properly?
And the other thing, too, is as loud as Jamal Adams is and as much of a – as good as he is on the field – and as much as people want to believe he's this great leader, emotionally, as far as intensity and everything is concerned, when he's on the field, he's a great leader.
He is that guy, absolutely.
No, but as far as in the locker room, he's a me guy. That's who he is. And I wonder if part of this, too, ends up being, do we make the decision to move away from him so now the real face of the franchise, where you hope can kind of take on more of a leadership role.
Yeah, but I go back to my original point. We'll get to the calls in a second. Is if that was your plan, you should have dealt them before the draft.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand.
Yeah. Then why are you still sitting here with this?
If you knew the entire time, because the relationship was so bad, that, and you don't win, so you're really not giving him, I mean, you don't have a lot to offer. He doesn't like Joe Douglas. You can't stand Adam Gase, and you don't want to pay him the money he wants, so he's going to be a real problem. Then, I mean, what are the chances that you're going to be able to negotiate a deal if you're Joe Douglas that you're going to be happy with?
Almost none.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the disconnect for me that I don't really understand.
Yeah, the window to trade him was before the draft. Even if it meant you took, you know, a little less than you thought was what he was worth. And I've heard people say you should get two ones and two twos. You got to stop. And I've heard, well, Jalen Ramsey's a corner. You're not going to get the same compensation for a safety that you would for a corner. So stop.
No, Jalen Ramsey's one of the best corners in the league. I mean, he's a shutdown corner. That's different. I mean, when you start power ranking positions, I mean, corner is what? I mean, you could make the argument that that's what? Fourth on the list? Third or fourth on the list?
Absolutely.
Quarterback, left tackle, D end, shutdown corner.
Mm-hmm. It's
maybe
right there.
Even, I mean, it depends on what you want. I mean, some would say shutdown corner more than D end, but. I understand both sides. I just don't know. I question who Jamal Adams is listening to at this point. This did not feel like the right time to do this. under the circumstances with the uncertainty of the season.
But what, I mean, he's pandemic. Done it how many times in the last 3 months?
No, but even then, like, I just think he got to a point with everything that he said, right? Good and bad. The phone calls that we've been taking leading up to this point, every time we bring up Jamal Adams, have been in support of Jamal Adams. He's your best player. You need to pay him. I don't know why he chose now to all of a sudden now turn the fan base against him.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have the answer for you. It's almost like he's tone deaf with what's going on here. 800-919-3776. All right, let's go. And how do we start Jets conversation without Ira from Staten Island? Good morning, Ira.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick. And, you know, listen, Rick, I totally understand. I understand both sides of it. And, listen, I love Rich. Semini does a tremendous job. And I knew this thing was pretty much unrepairable last October. And that's when they dropped the ball. They should have moved him.
Yep.
But what did he do? He went right over Gase's and Douglas's head, and he went directly to Chris Johnson. Okay? So they kind of smoothed it over, but it really wasn't, you know, smooth. The bottom line here is, listen, he's a terrific player. He is your best player. But Sam Darnold probably going to get a contract next year if he lives up to the potential. You can't give a safety $17 to $18 million because he wants to be the highest paid player on the team. You can't do it. The problem I have is that he went public. He got bad advice from his agent, but this is who he is. He leaves it all on the field, but he's a selfish player. He has a lot of Odell Beckham in him. And you know what? I just don't know how much of a distraction Gase and Douglas are going to want to put up with this summer in such a critical year, because you're right, if Gase doesn't win this year and he gets fired, he's never going to get a head coaching job again. So how are they going to deal with Adams during the summer and during the season? It's a really bad situation. If the right offer came, if you could get me a legitimate starter that could step in right away, and I could get maybe a one or a two for Adams, I move him.
Ira, a legitimate starter that's going to step in away and a one?
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's what I want. I'm not giving him away for nothing, okay? But because let's say you give him to the Cowboys or you give him to the Ravens. So I'm getting a starter and I'm getting basically a second-round pick. So that's how I look at it. But look at the message that Douglas will send to the rest of the players in the NFL, that if he caves in, okay, and he gives Adam what he wants right now, what happens in 2 years from now when Denzel Mims, you know, from my lips to God's ears, he's putting up 1,500 yards a game receiving? Then he's going to want a new contract.
Well, he probably gets signed, though. But again, Ira, this is why this is such a weird situation, because that's Joe Douglas's guy. If Denzel Mims outperforms his contract, that's who Joe Douglas drafted. Well, so he's probably more likely to sign him to an extension, as opposed to this isn't a guy that Joe Douglas drafted. And on top of it, I mean, we've seen how Adam Gase deals with personalities like Jamal Adams. It doesn't go well.
Mm-mm.
If it was strictly up to Adam Gase, Jamal Adams wouldn't be on this team. I can promise you that. This is a huge personality in that locker room, and this is not how Adam Gase does not deal well with big personalities.
No, and you can't overstate how big of a deal and how bad of a situation this is going to turn into. And already is right now. I mean, the guy wants a trade. Giving you a list of teams that he's willing to accept a trade to.
But Dave, understand this though. And I'm not sticking up for Jamal Adams, because I think the timing of this was all wrong. Is that the Jets are a product right now of their own dysfunction, man.
Yes.
I mean,
the
Jets are
32-16 in his time here. Maybe he's not so desperate for a contract extension right now.
Well, you heard it. If he gets traded to one of these good teams, he's more than happy to play under his current contract and revisit this after his fourth year. But because the Jets are so bad, and because people don't recognize him as the best safety in football because his team doesn't win, he's like, you know what? I don't like the GM. I hate the coach. We don't win.
Why would I want to be there?
I'm making less than $4 million. I'm making less than $4 million. What are we doing here? Why would I want to stay?
Yeah, well, he doesn't. He's
so
making that perfectly clear.
Because
perfectly clear.
As a leader of this bad team, I got to sit in front of a microphone and take the slings and arrows because we stink. Meanwhile, I'm all pro. That's how he's looking at it. I mean, that's the only reason why you say these are the teams. They're all good teams. And if you trade me to one of these teams, I don't need a contract extension right away.
Let's go to Tom in Richfield. What's up, Tom? You're on 98.7.
Hi, fellas. Big fan and pleasure to talk to you both.
Well, thanks for the call.
All right, so I'm a Jet fan, nowhere near as long as Ira, but when it was back during the draft, I would have said, agreed with you, Dave, that's the right time to have gotten a massive deal. Right now, it is a stalemate, and I'm with you, Rick. This is just bad timing, because I even re-looked at the tracker of fifth-year options. Almost half of the whole first round of Jamal's draft got their options declined. Trubisky, Solomon Thomas, among others that I just remember off the top of my head. I mean, Jamal Adams, I just feel bad as a fan because now I was backing him up, and now I feel betrayed a little bit. I mean,
why? Because he wants to get paid?
No, not betrayed, paid, just of how he's handling it. Because of the timing. It's just the timing of it. We're in a pandemic. We don't know what the season's going to be. You have countless, like, normally I'm all about the player getting paid. I was on Reeves' side as a fan. I'm on the player's side almost every time, especially in the NFL.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you this question. You mentioned the timing, and I agree with you. Had he said nothing, and we just keep kind of creeping towards the start of the season, would you, if he had said nothing, you'd still be on the side of Jamal Adams to pay him, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would 100% be on his side for paying him, and I would have faith of what Douglas said, if we want to make him a Jet for life and it being a chance. You know, if the circumstances were ideal, we knew the season was going to be as his stadium could be full if this was last year of his world, but we know it isn't.
See, but what does that mean? You see, in all reality, and I appreciate the phone call, Dave, what does that mean? Like, I'll be a Jet for life, right? We want to keep him a Jet for life. Jamal Adams wants to be a Jet for life. What does that entail? I mean, what are you signing up for?
I don't know.
You know what I'm saying?
I think what it probably means is I want a new deal.
No, I get it. But like you say, I want to be a Jet for life. I can understand if you know, going into your fourth year and you're on the Kansas City Chiefs. Of course I want to be a Kansas City Chief for life because I got Pat Mahomes as my quarterback. I'm going to be in the conversation to win a Super Bowl every single year. What are you signing up? Like if financially it doesn't make sense, what are you signing up for? More dysfunction, more losing? If the team doesn't win this year, it's another new head coach?
Yes.
Who wants to be a part of that?
I don't know that he wants to. I think that's kind of the common speak now from the players, right? When you want to get paid, well, I want to be this for life. I want to be a Bronco for life. I want to be a Jet for life, right?
Yeah, but exactly right. But I think it's different in each situation. Like when guys say that and you want to believe them, it's because if the money makes sense and you also can offer me a chance to always be in the playoffs and win, it would make sense. But if all of a sudden I'm saying I want to be a Jet for life, which, again, we've seen over the last 3 years, they're 16 and 32. You're signing up for, you know, hopefully average at this point. If you're not going to overpay me to stay, why else would I stay? What else are you offering me?
That's all you can offer. Right now you can't. You can offer hope in the fact that, you know what, Jamal, do you believe in Sam Darnold? Because if you do, he's going to be the quarterback here for a very long time. You can't sell the coach. The GM is unproven. Neither of those guys are your guys, so you can pay me, which will at least assuage me for the moment. I think.
That's it. No, but that's it. Exactly it. That's exactly, unless you pay me what I want, I'm not going to be willing to negotiate. This isn't going to be a negotiation. This is going to be you pay me what I want or trade me to a team that at least can offer me winning.
And now he's made this public. So now it's basically the court of public opinion. Is he such a great player that you have to pay him, or does the Jets fan turn on him and say, you know what, you want to be dealt, let's move on from him?
And on top of it, with the new CBA, is that if he chooses to sit out, because he's already sat out the voluntary Zoom calls and everything else, is that he's going to get fined, and because of the new CBA rules, he's not going to get that money back. So really has no leverage.
No, he has no leverage at all. And what they should have done was trade him in October or in April, is honestly what they should have done. Because now you've put yourself really in a difficult situation. Let's continue along. Let's go to Mike in the car. Mike, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, what's up, guys? I think a lot of people are looking at this from Jamal's point of view. But if you look at it from a business point of view, it should look a lot like the Severino deal where you're giving up free agent years. He's under control, like you said, for about 3 years. So if he was to hit the open market as a free agent right now, I mean, he's probably worth about maybe a shade over $15 million a year. So what's he giving up if he gets that money now? He should take like 13 or a little bit more than that, but he wants 17 while he's under control.
Yeah, but understand this. But understand this. And maybe I'm not doing a good enough job explaining this. That's, in all reality, that's what you'd be looking for, is the guaranteed security, because it's going to be an extension. It's not going to be a new deal. It'll be an extension on the 2 years he has left. So you're going to want the signing bonus, the upfront money, and everything else. Pretty much what he's saying is that because the Jets aren't a very good team, and have had a history of dysfunction over the last 3 years, it's a no-lose proposition for him. Either you pay him the 17 that he wants, or you're going to have to trade him to a good team who's going to pay him too.
Problem also is he's a safety. Like you said, he's not a shutdown corner. I mean, he's been on the team where they've been losing. I mean, it's not like he's – I mean, he does make plays. I'm not knocking his play, but he's not affecting the games where
he affects the game. Mike, there's no safety in the world that you could put on the Jets right now which would make them a playoff caliber team. It just – it doesn't exist. It's not possible. The same – you can't put them on the Giants and make them a playoff caliber team. You can't – I mean, there are certain teams that you could put a safety on and it's just not going to have that kind of impact.
But that's my point.
Well, I agree with you.
But in his mind, he's not just a safety. And that's – I understand that. I get it. I mean, he lines up, you know, 55% of the time he's not even lined up at safety.
But my point is, clearly his presence on a team the caliber of the Jets is not going to propel them to even average seasons.
Well, that's because you have an offense and you have a defense. I mean, once C.J. Mosley is back, that, that's, I mean, they'll still have
– listen, I agree with you.
I'm just trying to give you – I'm trying to give you both sides of this. As far as Jamal Adams is concerned, he's not just a safety. He's the best defensive player on his team. And he's a playmaker.
Well, it could be true. When Mosley's healthy, I think there's debate. But yes, he's right there.
And he's a leader. He's the vocal, emotional leader of your team. He's the face of your franchise.
I agree.
So he has all that. But my point is that because the Jets have been so bad in the 3 years that he's been here, and that's in his mind not who he is. He's not a loser. He said that a thousand times, that he's not a loser. That it's really a no-lose situation for him. Either you pay me exactly what I want, and it's not, you know, highest safety, it's going to be highest paid player on the team, which is $17 million, or I'm going to force you to trade me. And it's most likely going to be because I'm a safety to a team that, you know, feels like I'm the missing piece. So it's going to be a good team that wins consistently. And, oh, by the way, they gave up a first-round pick, so they're going to have to pay me anyway. How does
he
lose?
What happens if the Jets say no? What happens if they say, you know what, we're not trading you, and we're not paying you? Then what?
So then what? Then either he holds out and he's fine. I mean, he's fine, what, 50 grand a day?
Okay, that that's not a great idea for him.
But he's also relying on the fact that he's as good as, I mean, he's that good and he could make that much of a difference on the defense, realizing how important this season is for his head coach and his young quarterback.
This is a big
His head coach needs to win.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a big part of that. I mean, their defense was damn good for all the injuries they dealt with last year.
No one is for a moment, guys. Don't listen to think, oh, they don't like him or they don't. No, he's great. Great. One of the best safeties in all of football. A great defensive player. But the question is, will the Jets bend and pay him now or drag this along? Which feels like that's the trend we're going on, doesn't it?
That's how it feels like it's going to end up, yeah.
Like this feels like it's going to get even uglier than it is right now.
I don't know how it gets uglier. I mean, until they start training camp and he starts holding out, not showing up, I guess that would be uglier. But I mean, I don't know if the head coach has the appetite to deal with this kind of distraction in such a huge season for them. I know he likes Greg Williams. Greg Williams loves Jamal Adams. But the problem with the Jets is you got two head coaches. It's like two separate teams. Adam Gase is the head coach of the offense and Greg Williams is the head coach of the defense. It's two separate. I mean, it's two separate teams. Your head coach doesn't address the team. I mean, it really is not. I mean, it's not a great situation.
No, not at all. It's really the opposite of what you want it to be. Well, let's be honest.
So I can understand, but I could understand. It's like any job you have. If you feel like you're the best at what you do, and the company you work for stinks, so you never get recognized for all the good things that you do. And on top of it, you're not getting paid what you think you should be getting paid. Why would you want to stay? For what reason? If you know there's a better company that's going to be willing to, you know, pay you.
And you know what the Jets would say to that? You're under contract with us.
Well, that's,
you'll,
I mean,
stay, you'll stay because you have to stay.
Hammer. Now, Joe Douglas has the hammer.
Yeah.
This is just going to be how much he wants to deal with. How much of a distraction does he want to deal with this season?
And how ugly do you want it to get? Because if you allow it, this thing will continue to spiral.
Yeah, I don't worry about Jamal once the game's played. But it's all the days leading up to the game.
That's big stuff.
Oh, well, that's huge. I mean, part of his greatness and why, you know, Jets fans love him, and I know his teammates love him, is because, I mean, let's face it. You know, we say this all the time. And Chris has said this a bunch of times. is, you know, Sundays are for free. It's all the days leading up to the Sundays, mm-hmm. the game days that I get paid for. And those aren't easy days. And you need a player or players to kind of get the level where you need it to be. And Jamal is that guy. He brings the level, the emotion of everybody on the field up. And if he's not happy, he's not going to provide that for you.
Of course not. It'd just be the opposite. All that energy that usually goes towards positivity is going to, you know, detract from the team and suck it out from the team.
Yeah, which is exactly what the problem with Odell was. Odell was, exactly. And guys loved him, but Odell was the emotional leader of the team. And
You don't see a lot of Odell and Jamal Adams, though?
Well, they both went to LSU. I mean, you tell me. I mean, it seems like every LSU guy seems to be a bit of a pain in the butt, but I see a little bit. I mean, not as much, you know, on the field stuff. You know what I mean? There's more me in the locker room and everything else, but I don't know about, you know, you don't see the same kind of like antics on the field. Maybe that's
no,
just because
of the position. You don't see him attacking a kicking net and, you know, peeing like the dog and those kind of things.
But that's a really awkward situation to be in as a teammate. When you have the emotional leader of your team that isn't in a good place and doesn't show up, like with that same attitude, yep. that same energy every day, it brings you down. It does. And you heard that with the Giants. It was like that because Odell was like such a roller coaster emotionally, you didn't know what you were getting day to day. So you'd have to walk on eggshells.
Which
is he in a good mood today?
Dangerous, which the Giants just decide is it's just not worth it.
Exactly right. And now Joe Douglas, I mean,
he's got a decision.
Is put in a spot where, you know, he has to consider trading his best player.
Big decisions. Today on ESPN Daily, NFL wide receiver Marquise Goodwin and his wife Morgan share their digital journey in becoming parents and how it became a story of hope. That's ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts. Here's a guy that's busier on June 19th than he ever thought he would be, and that is our dear friend and Jets beat reporter Rich Cimini. Good morning, Rich.
Yeah, isn't June supposed to be the slow month in the NFL?
So. Supposed to be. Supposed to be. Now, you told us, and you've told us the last few times that we've spoken to you, so I give you a lot of credit. You said this is going to get worse before it gets better, and here we are. Does it continue to get worse as we close in on training camp, Rich?
I think so. I mean, I don't know how much worse it, well, he could not show up for training camp and stage a holdout, which I guess would be worse. So, yes, I don't see this situation improving anytime soon. And I do think it will not end anytime soon. I think it will linger into training camp for sure.
Rich, the one thing I don't understand, and again, I don't know Joe Douglas, but I realize where he comes from. I like the moves that he's made. Why wasn't this a sit-down conversation he had with Jamal's agent before the draft? Like, why are we at this point now?
And it's a great question, Rick. I mean, I wrote that before the draft. I said, you know, the Jets have to make a decision now. You know, either they're going to extend this guy or trade him, because the time to trade a guy like that is before the draft, so you could recoup as much as you possibly can and help yourself for that current season. You know, the Jets kept on slow playing this, you know, even as far back as, you know, at the combine in February. They said, we're going to, you know, eventually get with his agents after the draft, and you know, eventually they did, but, you know, they haven't really made a proposal. So they did talk to his agents, as they promised, but they never really got around to making an offer or negotiating. So, you know, I've talked to people around this situation, and Jamal just feels like he's getting pushed off and pushed off, and that's why it reached a boiling point yesterday.
Do you think at some point before this season starts, Rich, the Jets pay him, or does this just drag on,
no.
drag out, maybe doesn't show, continues to get worse, and then spills into the season?
Yeah, I don't think the Jets are going to pay him this year. I just think the organization is just philosophically opposed to paying a guy who's got 2 years left on his contract, who was a first-round pick, you know, and has a fifth-year option for next year. Everything I'm hearing, I'd be stunned if they just all of a sudden said, okay, we'll give you a contract. I just don't think that's in their long-term plan. I think they have very specific budgeting, and you could, you know, critique it all you want, but, you know, they do budget, and they do feel like, I think next year is probably the better year to do it. And of course, look, they got him on a team-friendly contract right now. I mean, he is making $3.6 million this year. You know, that's a bargain, you know, for a player of Jamal's caliber, but I'd be shocked if they did a deal before the start of the season.
So, Rich, everything that you just said, I mean, the phone calls that we've been taking on Jamal, anytime we mention him, you know, you came on, we talked about it, we took phone calls. It seemed like the Jets fan base was, the majority said, you got to pay this guy. He's the best player on our team. You got to pay him. We want to keep him. Why would Jamal choose now, all of a sudden, to demand this trade? It seems like, I mean, he's turned off a lot of Jets fans with this demand.
Yeah, at least I would agree with that based on my Twitter timeline. It's just, you know, he doesn't want to be here anymore. So right away, the loyal fans, you know, are like, well, the hell with him. We don't need him. It's a great question. I don't know the answer to it. The timing is very peculiar by Jamal's camp. It's almost like he skipped a couple of stages in the negotiating process. You know, this whole dance that teams and players do, usually the trade request will come at the end of the preseason after he's been holding out and things are really nasty. This is like 2 months ahead of time. So the timing, while I'm not surprised he did request a trade, the timing certainly caught me off guard a little bit. And, you know, it's not a great time to be trying to trade a player. And I don't think the Jets are going to trade him. Everything I've heard has been consistent over the last couple of months. I don't think the Jets want to trade this player. And if they did decide to do a 180 and say, okay, we have to trade him, it's not a great time to do it because, I mean, getting draft picks for next year is all great for your long-term plan, but it doesn't help your team this year. And this team really is in a position that they have to win games this year.
Yeah, Rich Cimini with us here, 98.7 ESPN, discussing this Jamal Adams situation. I mean, do you think Joe Douglas, I don't know, misplayed his hand, miscalculated what was going to happen here, or do you think he expected this to happen? Because, like you said, it's hard to trade him now. You don't think they're going to pay him now. The time to trade him would have been either back in October or certainly in April, and now we sit here and he's very unhappy, and he could probably make you pretty miserable. So do you look at this as any sort of a misjudgment, I'll say, from Joe Douglas?
Yeah, I think there might be a little bit of that in there. I think when you come out publicly and say, you know, we want to make Jamal a Jet for life and we're going to hook up with his agents after the draft, I mean, it kind of puts out the perception out there that, you know, we're going to sit down and negotiate a deal with this guy. And I don't really think the Jets had any intention of actually doing that. And Jamal, I mean, take it for what it's worth, but when he went on Instagram a few days ago, he said the Jets promised in January that they'd send a proposal, and he said he's still waiting for that proposal. So I don't know if that's true or not, but if it is true and the Jets, you know, haven't, you know, fulfilled the promise like that, then that's on the Jets. You know, then that's not good faith negotiating. Again, I don't know if that's true. That's his side saying that, Jamal saying that, but I think maybe Joe Douglas underestimated how quickly Jamal would be would let his emotions get into this.
Rich Cimini joins us here on the show. Rich, how much of this goes back to, or how much of this stems from Joe Douglas picking up the phone during the trade deadline and how Jamal reacted to that? I mean, is this just a fact that they don't trust, Jamal doesn't trust Joe Douglas and Adam Gase at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think it all started there, you know, and, you know, when teams started calling and the Jets were listening and, you know, actually engaging in trade talks, especially with the Cowboys, I think the Ravens were involved to some degree. And we all know what happened. Jamal, I remember being there that day. Jamal fired off a tweet attacking the Jets, like as Joe was walking out of his press conference, you know, his trade deadline press conference. And, you know, so Jamal didn't waste any time. And even though they, you know, supposedly buried the hatchet a few days later after some really chilly, they didn't talk for a few days. So I don't think they ever really buried the hatchet. I think that left a scar, you know, for Jamal that he hasn't forgotten. And I do think that he probably felt betrayed and probably still carrying that lack of trust to this day.
All right. So, Rich, you told us you don't think they're going to pay him before the season. Sounds like you don't think they're going to trade him before the season either. So I guess the question is, what happens? Is it the Jets just hold firm until he eventually caves and shows up to training camp in these games?
Well, I don't know if he's going to show up to training camp. I mean, I think, there's a good chance he will hold out. If the guy doesn't want to play here, you would think he would hold out for training camp, just connecting the dots there. So, I don't know, Dave. It's a good question. I don't know the end result. It's June, so there's a lot of time to go. Negotiations have a life of their own, you know, with a lot of different twists and turns. Yesterday was certainly a twist, for sure. And I think, will he sit out games? Well, now that's a different story. I don't think he's going to sit out games because then you're giving up your game checks. And, you know, I don't think players very rarely would do something like that. So I do think this will go out for a while. And then it becomes, you know, a staring contest, a poker game, really. You know, let's see who folds first.
And, Rich, just to clarify, because, I mean, just, you know, going through Twitter and everything else, I mean, you see conflicting reports. Just to clarify, with the new CBA, if Jamal holds out during training camp, he can't recoup those fines, correct? Those are mandatory fines?
Great question, and I know there's some confusion over that. I actually checked with the NFLPA a few weeks ago. He would get fined $40,000 a day if he does not report. The team does have the ability to waive those fines. There's a different staging for different players on different contracts. But in Jamal's situation, the team would have the opportunity at the end, say he accumulates $2.5 million in fines, the Jets could, at the end of training camp, say we're waiving that. So really, that part hasn't changed in terms of Jamal. He also would not get an accrued season if he doesn't show up on the first day of training camp. And that essentially, you know, limits his ability to get one step closer to free agency. But as for the fines, nothing really has changed, even though there's a new CBA. The team would have the ability to waive the fine.
Rich, so that's with different. Us here, 98.7 ESPN. I saw you on SportsCenter with SVP. Outstanding job last night, by the way, Rich. But my
thank you.
Yeah, terrific. I mean, you're the best. You know how we feel about you. My question is this. You know, you say that this guy doesn't just want to be the highest paid safety in the NFL. He wants to be the highest paid player on the Jets. So he doesn't want 15-ish million. He wants upwards of $17-plus million a year, right?
I don't know about the plus part, but, I mean, I think he feels he's the best player on the team and should be paid as such. C.J. Mosley is currently the highest paid player on the team, $17 million a year. And the Jets, look, they dramatically overpaid. That was a different regime, you know, a year and a half ago, and they grossly overpaid for a middle linebacker. And Jamal, I think, would like to be in that neighborhood right around there. And the only difference is, and it's a big difference, is C.J. Mosley was a free agent. You know, he was on the market. It was open bidding for him. You know, Jamal is not a free agent. You know, we know that. He's got 2 years left on his contract. So it's a totally different situation from C.J. Mosley. But essentially, yeah, I think he wants to be, you know, have that distinction of being the highest on the team.
All right, Rich, last one for me. It's a two-parter. First part being, if Mike Maccagnan was still the GM or Jamal Adams was Joe Douglas' draft pick, is this extension done? And second part of the question is, if the Jets had done more winning over the last 3 years, would Jamal be looking for a contract extension now?
Well, those are tough questions. I mean, Maccagnan, I don't think, was ever in a situation like this where he had to decide whether to pay a really good player because there weren't any really good players available at that time. Well, he did play Mo Wilkerson, you know, but Mo was on a franchise tag that year, and we all know how that turned out. That didn't turn out to be such a good deal.
Disaster.
He paid a fortune for Mo Wilkerson, but that was completely different because Mo was, you know, a franchise tagged player. He never really had a situation. So there's no track record to speak of with Maccagnan to say how he would have handled his situation. But we all know, and you know, Rick, for being in sports, I mean, GMs always prefer their guys.
Yep.
You know, when you're, you know, there's always that hidden bias. Maybe it's not even hidden in some situations. You know, if you draft a guy, there is, you know, there is a bias toward that player. You want to keep that player, cultivate that player. So with Joe, and I don't know, the winning part, I don't know. I do think the winning or lack of has factored into Jamal's decision, you know, yep, to do this. Because I remember after that Miami game last year down there when they were 1-7, I mean, his face and his actions after that game, you know, that was when he said, I'm tired of losing, I'm sick of losing. You could just see at that moment that it looked like he was just had enough, you know. So I think the lack of winning has factored into Jamal's mindset.
All right, Rich, good stuff as always. I have a feeling this is not the last time you're going to be having the Jamal Adams conversation. So we'll do it again with you soon.
To be continued.
Yeah, absolutely. Good stuff. We appreciate it. Thanks, Rich.
Thanks, guys.
All right. That, of course, is is Rich Samini on the whole Jamal Adams mess. And it doesn't sound, you know, from that, Rick, it doesn't sound like he has an awful lot of leverage right now. And it doesn't sound like the Jets are going to pay him before the season starts.
No, he doesn't. I mean, I just don't, I don't get the timing, to be honest. I mean, to now all of a sudden realizing, you know, where we're at as a country with the pandemic, where the NFL's at, Dr. Fauci saying and everything else, who knows what the season's going to look like, if there's fans in seats, what this, you know, what the salary cap's going to look like and everything else. I don't know why you choose now to demand a trade. And like Rich said on his timeline, you just turned off, I mean, all the loyal Jets fans that were screaming at the top of their lungs that we need to keep Jamal Adams, we love him.
You just said, I don't want to be a part of the organization.
They just completely turned off the fan base.
What would you feel like? I mean, listen, if a Giants player came out and said, I don't want to be part of the Giants organization, you think I'd be like, well, he's such a great guy and a great competitor, a great teammate? No, I'd say get him out of here.
No, but he did the opposite. I mean, he pretty much said, I'm going to try to hold you hostage because this team stinks, but if you trade me to a good team, I'm more than happy to play this fourth year out.
That's right. So I would think that a lot of Jets fans would feel like, you know what, let's get rid of him.
Yeah, but the timing stinks.
It's terrible.
I mean, where's he going? For who? You're not going to trade him. You don't want to trade him inside the conference, do you? No.
In the conference?
No.
I would trade him. I'm not trading him in the division. Of course, I'm not trading him in the division.
But he didn't list any. I mean, there's no division teams on his list of teams.
What, you have his list in front of you?
Yeah, he's got the Ravens, the Cowboys, the Texans, the Chiefs, the Eagles, the Niners, and the Seahawks.
So the AFC is who? The Ravens and the Chiefs?
And Texans.
And Texans. Yeah. Would I trade him to those three teams? Yeah, probably. If I got fair value in return? Yeah.
But why would you trade him to the Texans now? You should have traded him to the Texans when DeAndre Hopkins was in the equation.
I agree with you. I'm not arguing that. Yes, you could have gotten DeAndre Hopkins in a pick, probably. Like a good pick.
I mean, AFC, would I consider Jacksonville if Yannick Ngakoue was involved in a draft pick? Probably, because Jacksonville stinks anyway. But, I mean, I don't know. You can choose to be spiteful and just say, you know what? You're a Jet. That's it. You can hold out. We'll find you. We're not going to pay you back the money, and you can either sit or decide to play.
This is going to get ugly. Let's have a little bit of fun, and let's bring it in, CMT.
All right, here we go, fellas. No Chris Candy today. We got Dave Rothenberg, and I'm going to bring Ray Santiago into the mix. You ready, Raymond?
Oh, yeah, let's go.
So playing the role of Chris Candy will be Raymond Santiago?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
As others like to call him, the NFC East troll.
A big time.
Ray, the NFC East troll.
I don't even
troll.
Think you need NFC East. He's just troll.
He's so good at it, though. So good.
The best.
All right, let's get right into it.
An excellent troll. Go ahead.
Let's get right into it. This is a big topic. This is a big CMT Cuddle Mary Trash topic. We're going desserts.
Oh, yeah.
We're going desserts. No, I'm going to start you off easy.
Talking my language here.
Yeah. And when I say easy, not that easy. I'm going to give you a chocolate chip cookie, an oatmeal cookie, or a peanut butter cookie. Oh.
You say not that easy. To me, this is easy. Now, I'm assuming they're all similar level of deliciousness, right? Like they're created by a similar baker, so they're going to have a similar high quality. I'm sorry. I'm not saying I won't eat one, but I'm trashing the oatmeal.
Garbage.
I imagine there's probably raisins in there as well. I don't need oatmeal raisin. I would occasionally partake in such a cookie, but I don't need that. Every single day. So I'll move on from that. The peanut butter cookie is very underrated. It's delicious, and I'm a huge fan of peanut butter. In fact, I could have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich pretty much any day for lunch and feel very pleased about that. So I will cuddle into the peanut butter cookie.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
And please, if there's one cookie that you would get on a knee and propose to and hope to spend the rest of your life with, it would be the chocolate chip cookie. So I don't think it was all that difficult. I will marry every day of the week the chocolate chip.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
I had a much more difficult time with this category than you. And I was actually shocked. My wife loves chocolate chip cookies, and she actually married the oatmeal.
No, stop it.
I swear to God. Loves chocolate chip cookies. Little did I realize that she...
You cannot marry the oatmeal cookie.
She married the oatmeal cookie.
No, her question, and I say this now, and you can determine whether it's... You can go far back. Her question in marriage is very much up for debate right now.
Which is to my benefit. Santi, what are you doing here, bud?
I mean, I'm pretty much in lockstep with Dave on this. I mean, the oatmeal cookie is fine. It's
fine.
It's it's not something that, oh my God, I've got to have the oatmeal cookie. So if you've got the option for the three, then the oatmeal cookie is going in the trash. I'm sorry.
It feels like the healthiest of the.
Yeah, that doesn't cookies. Almost doesn't even feel like a dessert. It's like, would you like this healthy cookie?
Okay,
it's like breakfast.
Yeah.
Like
you ever have the incident where you go for what you think is the chocolate chip cookie and it's an oatmeal raisin cookie?
It's one of the great tragedies.
And you get the biggest sense of disappointment. It's like, oh, I thought this was a chocolate chip cookie. Like, you'll eat it, but you're
Do you even eat it? Or do you just kind of put it on somebody else's plate
and go for the chocolate chip?
No, I mean, you've already grabbed a cookie. You may as well eat that.
You eat both.
Eat the thing. But, I'm going to trash the oatmeal cookie. The peanut butter cookie, I mean, it's fine. Everyone loves peanut butter. But
Bombs
so I'll cuddle that.
Fallacious seeds.
I mean, anybody that's not marrying the chocolate chip cookie, and I'm sorry, Cass, but I'm questioning your sanity. It's the chocolate chip cookie. You marry it all every day.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry.
An absolute no-brainer. I just got a text from someone at the station. Says the oatmeal cookie is like a round granola bar. It's fine.
I will say though,
breakfast and start your day.
I have had. I forget where we got it. I had an oatmeal chocolate chip peanut butter cookie. I had all three in one cookie. Was delicious.
Well, that's different. Now you're talking
different. Yeah. I got bamboozled by my – see, I said it right. My grandmother told us the entire time. She made the best chocolate chip cookies. It's a secret. It's a secret recipe. I'll give it to you when you're older. Little did we realize that it was just it was from the back of the Toll House chocolate chip cookie recipe, and she just added an extra bag of chocolate chips. That was it.
That's funny.
There was no secret recipe at all. All right, here we go. Next one, I'm going to give you chocolate cake, carrot cake, or coconut cake.
Chocolate, carrot, coconut. All right, again, you know, this is nothing that's overly difficult. Ray, would you like to go first?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
For me, I am going to, and you're going to notice a theme here, I'm all over the chocolate cake. I'm marrying the chocolate cake. I'm not thinking about it. I'm running to the altar with it.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
This one becomes a little bit tougher because as a kid, I was never really too fond of coconut. And
you love the nut.
Well, no, I will definitely not go that far. I kind of tolerate coconut. Carrot cake.
Delicious.
Carrot cake can be good or bad. I guess I've had some bad carrot cakes, but.
Well, I can't imagine he's giving you a bad piece of carrot cake.
Right.
No, this is top notch.
But past experience kind of weighs into this thing. It's kind of like the oatmeal cookie. Like, that doesn't necessarily mean the oatmeal cookie is bad, but if you're thinking of it in terms of the chocolate chip cookie, it's disappointing. So, I'm going to cuddle the carrot cake.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
And because my prior bias still remains with the coconut cake, I'm going to put that in the garbage.
Look at this garbage!
Disrespectful.
Raymond could not be more accurate. I actually called the rabbi during his dissertation about the different cakes to book him so I could marry the chocolate cake. That's absolutely done. I love carrot cake.
Love it.
I'm a big fan of a nice, good, moist piece of carrot cake. Oh, just delicious.
Cream cheese frosting.
Delicious. So I'll marry that. Coconut, it's oatmeal raisin-esque to me. I can have it. I cannot. Either way, I'm fine. I will trash the coconut.
Firmly garbage.
I couldn't disagree with you guys more. I'm marrying the carrot cake.
Oh,
I'm going to cuddle the coconut cake, and I'm trashing the chocolate cake.
No, see, something is
I'm telling you, I love carrot. Carrot cake is my favorite cake.
Something is clearly wrong with you that you would trash a delicious piece of chocolate cake.
Semi-sweet chocolate morsel.
Santiago is on his game. All right, I'm going to give you apple pie, pumpkin pie, and key lime pie.
All right, I'll start here. This is more difficult for me. These three are all cakes that I enjoy, or pies that I greatly enjoy. And here's the thing. I only have pumpkin pie Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. It's never like the other 364 days of the year that we partake in pumpkin pie. But I will tell you, you put a little whipped cream on a piece of pumpkin pie, and it's
delicious.
About as good as it gets. But I would never be at a restaurant and order a piece of pumpkin pie. So for that reason, I'm going to trash it.
Wow.
I love pumpkin pie. But for that reason alone, I'm going to trash it. Key lime is very underrated. It's a delicious, delicious pie. A little whipped cream on that. Oh, during the summer, key lime doesn't get better. So I will cuddle the key lime.
bombs and hellacious seeds.
And I don't know that it gets much better in life than a scoop of vanilla ice cream on a piece of apple pie. That, my friends, is marriage material.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry.
And we've seen what you do with an apple pie by
yourself.
Right. We've all seen that.
They made a movie on that. Yeah.
What about you, Santi?
So that you're saying the movie was a biopic?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, that was.
I don't know if you saw
the
beginning in very small letters that said based on a true story.
Terrible. I'm getting kind of scared here because I've been in lockstep with Dave Rothenberg, and this is now going to be number three. Pumpkin pie, you always have it every Thanksgiving. It's fine. You'll eat it. You'll enjoy it. But it's of the three, it's a no-brainer. You're going to put pumpkin pie in the trash.
All right, let's speed this up. Come on, I got a fully loaded. I still got five more of these. Let's go.
Right, five more.
We'll speed it right up. The key lime pie is fine. I'm going to cuddle it.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
And there's a reason the saying is, as American as apple pie, everybody loves apple pie.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
Yeah, I'm trashing
apple pie and baseball, right? Two of America's great pastimes.
I'm trashing key lime pie. Married apple. I'm going to cuddle pumpkin. All right, here we go. This is a tough one. Chocolate molten cake. You know, the chocolate oozes out of the middle.
I mean, all of a sudden you're Gordon Ramsay or chocolate molten cake.
Well, that's always on a menu. I mean, when you this is like menu desserts. Brownie sundae. Ugh. Banana Foster's.
The Bananas Foster's. All right, I'll go first and I'll go quickly. I'm going to, What's the middle one? The last one's banana. The middle one is
brownie sundae.
Brownie. Oh, I love the brownie sundae. I'll marry that.
If it was socially acceptable,
even if I'm dieting and at a restaurant, they have the brownie sundae. It's hard to say no. So I'll go with that. I'll cuddle the chocolate molten cake. I'm a sucker for chocolate, and I will trash the bananas Foster.
Look at this garbage.
Lockstep again with Dave.
I'm
going to trash the banana. I mean, it's fine. Whatever. But I will actually change it up on you. I will cuddle the brownie.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
And again, it's chocolate. I'm going to rush for the chocolate, especially if it's molten chocolate. I love oozing chocolate everywhere. Let me enjoy it. I'm going to marry it. So the molten chocolate cake, it is.
If it was socially acceptable,
you guys haven't been to Burns in Tampa, the dessert room.
No, that's correct.
Oh my God, the Banana Foster's. Oh, with some ice cream, ridiculous. All right, I'm going to go Italian style here: cannoli, tiramisu, or gelato.
All right, Santi, would you like me to go first? Cannoli, tiramisu, or gelato?
I don't think I've ever had the tiramisu.
Tiramisu is good.
It's fantastic.
It's good, but I'll tell you what. It pales in comparison here. I'm gonna trash the tiramisu. I'm trashing the tiramisu. I'm going to cuddle the gelato.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
And there's only one of the three that you could even think of marrying, and that's the cannoli.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
Oh, wow. Oh, I love a good
that's Cassie's favorite. Cassie loves the cannoli.
All right, actually going to, and it may just be that I've had the cannolis probably too often, so it loses its novelty. I'm going to marry the gelato.
If it was socially acceptable, I would
like
marry
that.
Them.
I'll cuddle the cannoli.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
And I can't speak to the third one. I've never had it. I've never seen it. So it's
you've never had tiramisu?
Never had tiramisu.
I'm going to have Cassie make you a tiramisu. It's got the lady fingers that you soak in coffee.
Oh, yeah, delicious.
I'll give you the tiramisu.
Yeah, you'll love it.
I'm trashing the cannoli. I'm marrying the gelato.
You're out of your mind.
I'm telling you right now. Gelato's my favorite. Cheesecake, bread pudding, creme brulee.
Cheesecake, bread pudding, creme brulee. Yes?
Yes.
All right, I'm marrying cheesecake.
If
nothing compares to cheesecake.
Them.
It's sensational. They named the whole factory after the whole theme of cheesecake. So I will marry cheesecake. I'm going to cuddle the creme brulee.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
And maybe that's the part of me that loves the fire. But I will marry cuddle creme brulee, and I will very calmly push bread pudding into the garbage.
Firmly garbage.
Thank God you don't have a lactose issue with the desserts that you're marrying and cuddling.
Yeah, I do not.
It's rough.
It'll be messy.
Again, marrying the cheesecake. There's all different directions you can go with the cheesecake. Thank you, Cheesecake Factory. It's delicious. So marry that.
A chocolate cheesecake.
Oh, it's the best. Again, chocolate, and it's right up my alley.
Nice graham cracker crust.
I'm going to trash the bread pudding.
How dare you trash the bread pudding?
He's right there with me.
I'm right there. and creme brulee is how it's pronounced.
Yes, yeah. That's how it's pronounced.
That will be covered.
Bombs and
I'm not quite sure how to pronounce it, but I will eat it just
fine.
Well,
you guys are out of your minds. Sandy, we gotta start going out for desserts, you and I.
Yeah, you guys are out of your minds. I mean, you guys would be like Lady and the Tramp feeding each other desserts. I mean, you marry the bread pudding, you cuddle the cheesecake, and you can get rid of the creme brulee.
No.
Stop.
No.
Now, this one is going to be right up Santiago's alley. I'm going to give you flan, which is delicious. I'm going to give you tres leche cake, which is one of my favorites of all time, and the churro.
Oh, well, should I start, Dave?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'm trashing the churro. I'm not even thinking about it. It's a glorified donut with some sugar on it. It's not that special to me. I will calmly trash the churro. Now, this is where it gets tough because...
It's a glorified donut.
My mother makes both of these fantastic, flan and tres leches cake. The flan, she sometimes puts a little rum in it for Thanksgiving.
Ooh.
Yes, it gives it a little bit
boozy.
Of flavor. It's actually become a thing where family members come, you know, visit the house for Thanksgiving or any other holiday, and they would ask my mother, you're making the flan, right? Making the flan. We're coming over. Would you mind make sure you've made the flan? Yes. Okay, great. So, but then you got the tres leches cake.
Which is fantastic.
When it's done right.
Oh,
because sometimes it doesn't. The thing about tres leches cake, it has to be wet, soaking wet.
Yes, as if I took my shirt off and the cake saw me.
Yes, you understand. Okay, after much debate, I'm going to cuddle the flan.
Bombs and
well done.
Much debate would be right. I mean, my goodness.
And the tres leches cake is being devoured. It's being married. Give me the tres leches cake all day long.
I wouldn't marry them.
All right, so before I get into my very brief analysis, there are three milks?
Oh, yeah.
What are these milks?
You got sweetened condensed milk.
Yes.
Do you have is there evaporated milk that goes in there, too?
I believe evaporated milk is in there.
And then regular milk.
No, not regular milk. I think it's cream. I think it's heavy cream, actually.
Heavy cream, so it's good for you. All right, so the churro, I will agree. Is it like powdered sugar or cinnamon on that?
Cinnamon sugar.
I'm not a huge fan of that, so I don't need that. I never loved flan, to be honest with you. So I'm gonna cuddle flan. Maybe I've never had the right flan, and I'm gonna. Finding out today there are three milks is revolutionary for me. So I'd like to do that. I'd like to marry the tres leche cake.
That is by far, when done right, Santi, I couldn't agree with you more. That is one of my favorite desserts of all time. Anywhere we go that offers that on the menu, I always order it. It's just so moist.
It's the girlfriend's go-to dessert. It's like,
it's
what can
fantastic.
I eat? Like, oh, they got tres leches? Okay, I'm eating that.
Delicious. All right, boys, there you go. That is a dessert edition of Cuddle, Marry, Trash.
A dessert edition of CMT. You never broke out the Adam Sandler edition of CMT.
I have it. No, I have it. I was going to say, I mean, that's already written up. I just felt like food today. Headed into the weekend.
It's a big barbecue nice weekend, right?
Yeah, maybe have a nice dessert for Father's Day. Who knows?
I agree. All right, so I guess you, because I'm not taking the blame for this at all. I guess you've upset Carlin.
I got attacked.
Yeah, he comes your way every night at 7 o'clock. He's got David Cohn on the show tonight. He's very upset. We got into the whole dessert conversation. We piqued his interest. Good afternoon, Chris Carlin.
First of all, thanks for the nice, easy segue there. I appreciate that. I have never been angrier than I was over the last 20 minutes, and I got fired last fall in listening to that segment. And here's my problem. I mean, you guys want to position yourself as experts, and it's not just you, Rick, although you're unbelievably fit, and you shouldn't even be allowed in this discussion. I know. Be the host. Just ask them. Don't give me answers. I don't respect your opinion on this. No offense. I would not ask you to respect my opinion about hockey. You have no opinion that I'm ever going to respect about desserts. With the shape that you're in, no.
But I think you're very unfair, Chris. I think you're very unfair. Because he's in dynamic shape, he's no longer allowed to enjoy or have knowledge of the dessert?
Dave, turn in your fat guy card since you lost all this weight because you don't know what you're talking about. Stop! First of all, the fact that nobody at the very beginning get the clarification on the oatmeal cookie as to whether or not it has raisins. That's everything. You just make an assumption.
I assumed it had raisins because you never.
No,
who has just a garden? There's no such thing as just an oatmeal cookie. It always has raisins.
No, it does not. It absolutely does not. I guess you didn't grow up in America. I don't know where you grew up, but I have to tell you this. I mean, that's like saying to me, this is a refreshing drink. Does it have cyanide in it? Oh, yeah. Well, it's still pretty good. No, no. I don't put fruit in an oatmeal cookie and treat that the same way without it. And the only thing you guys were right about with that is when you go for the chocolate chip and it turns out to be the oatmeal cookie with raisins, that's a devastating blow.
Yes.
There's no question.
Yeah, you still eat it. You still eat the cookie.
I wouldn't
put it away.
I would not. I would find an empty plate sitting on a side table, and I would put my cookie on that.
I agree with you on that, and I would not. I would. First of all, I'd be able to look at the cookie when I got it close enough and understand that it was raisins, not chocolate chips. I'm discerning as much as my figure might not make you believe that's the case. Secondly. You know, like things like coconut and key lime pie are in this discussion. Are you kidding me?
You know, you're just a typical give me food and let me double fist it in my mouth. Key lime pie is a delicious piece of cake.
Well, first of all, you just said it's a piece of cake. It's a pie. And secondly, no, it's not. I mean, it's lime, which is I'll put it in a beer every once in a while. That's fine. It's not dessert. Anything fruit based. Is not a dessert with a small exception of like apple pie or
pumpkin. Oh, time out. Here, banana cream pie. Bananas are fruit. It's delicious pie.
No.
What do you know?
I don't know who died and turned you into the dessert maven, but I think you're off base on a lot of your analysis here, Carlin.
No, my analysis is spot on. Don't worry about my analysis. Look in the mirror and ask yourself, who am I? Because that's what that last segment just told me. If I'm looking in the mirror, if I'm Dan Rothenberg and I'm looking in the mirror right now, I'm a fraud. That's what I am.
You know, for
that's
you to call into
that's
this
strong.
Show and verbally berate the two guys on the show at the moment, I think is really not your finest moment.
I love you.
You don't love it because you know when he's done and you start texting me, you're going to take shots at him without him knowing.
No, so, I take shots directly at him. I take shots directly at him.
Yes, so, and I respect that. I have no problem with anybody ever taking shots at me. But when you get into something like this, I take this very seriously. Ironically enough, I'm out exercising, which, and listening to you guys, and I love CMT, and I'm angry enough that I'm exercising. And it's amazing that you made it worse.
This is good for you, though. We're actually making you work out harder.
We're here to help.
So this pleasant stroll around the grocery store that you call exercise is working out well.
I got to get my steps in.
Before you gorge in some devil dogs. Chris, what do we have tonight? We have Carl. We have David Cohen joining the show.
We have David Cohen tonight. We have Sebastian Joseph Day from the Rams, who wrote a nice op-ed piece the other day and is also from Rutgers. And we have Pete the Fat Man tonight. Fat Man, look into it, guys. Look and see what that actually is. And step away before you try to make judgments on desserts and embarrass yourselves. Okay?
Chris, have a terrific weekend. Have a great show. Study up on desserts a tad, and we'll talk to you soon.
I didn't even get into Santiago. Jeez.
Goodbye.
What did I do?
He's taking shots all over the place.
Oh, dude, you should see my text messages. I mean, he is our very own 98.7 bubble, though, which is nice. So
I just got a great tweet. Carlin is turning into the typical, quote, regular disgruntled old guy caller. With DPHO,
very upset.
And Rothenberg right now.
I mean, he texts me, DPHO equals hack fat wannabe. I love him. He makes
me
laugh.
Funny. He's as incorrect as he might be, he's funny.
He makes me laugh.
He's wrong.
He's very upset, though. Very upset.
He's wrong, but he's funny.
And then there's you, Dave. When you get in these corners, you start launching attacks.
How did I launch an attack? You're just a typical, give me food and let me double fist it in my mouth.
Yeah. Terrible.
Why? How is that terrible? That's what he sounds
you go
like.
Right, you go right for the jugular.
It's ridiculous. Strawberry shortcake, blueberry pie, key lime pie, peach pie. These are desserts.
Well, it's pies. I mean, what am I going to say? Chocolate pudding pie? I mean, it's a key lime pie is on a menu.
I'm not even going to say anything about you repeatedly calling pie cake.
Oh, stop it. It's dessert. It's one and the same. What's the difference?
A fruit tart is delicious.
Delicious.
The kiwi and the blueberries, that nice little apricot glaze on top. Stop.
I'm not listening to him attack us for our dessert choices.
He's out working out. Stop it. He's not working out.
Conversations I never thought I'd hear. He went down the steps.
He walked down the steps to the kitchen. That was his workout for the day.
You know what I did? I did like when he's like the new skinny Rothenberg. Like that felt really good.
That was actually, I mean, I knew you liked that. It was supposed to be a shot at you, but you did because you're happy turning in your fat card.
Yeah, I am.
But you were aggressive. I agree with Santiago. That was, I mean, that was right for the jugular.
Well,
that's
the show to take attack on us.
I told him to call the show because he was attacking me. I thought it'd be funny. But, I mean, to even find his jugular would be a miracle.
See, I just take obvious shots. You're like the subtle shot at someone.
Well, you got it confused. He has ice cream cone on tonight, not David cone. It's an actual ice cream cone.
And you didn't even really incorporate the ice cream into the scene.
I went gelato. I mean, ice cream is. I went brownie sundae.
Italian ice cream. I understand.
I was going to go different flavors of ice cream, but I wasn't just going to go, you know, chocolate, vanilla, strawberry. Could have thrown in some, you know, mint chocolate chip cookies and cream kind of action. That could be a whole different topping.
DJ Chef just sent a tweet. It says my signature dessert is chocolate banana bread pudding. Ooh.
That's delicious, dude. Ooh. Cassie sometimes will make a banana bread, and I'll purposely
banana
not
bread
eat
is
it.
Great. Banana bread with chocolate chips in it. Oh,
well, she makes them all the time. But what I purposely do sometimes is I'll eat half of it, and then I'll leave the rest, and then I'll let it get like a little bit, you know, stale-ish, and then you make that into a bread pudding. Oh my God,
delicious! DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.